Welcome back to Movie Dudes. I'm told it's been over 2 years since we've done one, but we're still here. I'm still Jeff. You're still Chris.
It's true. I don't think that's changed.
And we're kicking off kind of a little revival of the show here. Perfect timing for us, month of October. We're going to be covering horror movies all month, and then we'll see where we go from there. But yeah, to kick it off, like, we're going to do different stuff each week this month for Halloween. But to kick it off, we're going to review two movies that were just released in theaters, and I think they're both still out there. We'll start it right off with one that just came out, definitely still playing in theaters, called The Green Inferno.
Yeah, I don't know how long The Green Inferno is going to be playing in theaters, but it didn't do horrible over the weekend, but it kind of plays to a different crowd, and that crowd probably already all went. The Green Inferno is Eli Roth's latest film, he of Cabin Fever and Hostel fame. He hasn't actually directed a film
since Hostel 2.
Since Hostel 2, which was 8 years ago.
Yeah.
He's done some other things, like, in between there. He's kind of been producing Hemlock Grove for Netflix, and he does have another film, I believe, coming out this year.
I'm told.
Yeah, it's called Knock Knock with Keanu Reeves. It's more of a thriller, though, than one of his straight horror films. So I'm actually kind of interested in that, because Eli Roth is the gore master, or at least that's kind of what his shtick has been for the last his previous three films. The Green Inferno, though, is a cannibal film.
Woo!
That great genre that hasn't been around in nearly 40 years. Following in classics, and it's really hard to see, but I'm using quotation marks, like Cannibal Holocaust, and which I have seen, and Cannibal Ferox, which is another big one. I've never seen that one, though. Almost watched it this week, but
I've seen Holocaust. I don't remember liking it.
Yeah, me neither. So, it's like, you know, those films were old, and they were shot in a weird documentary type fashion, and like, I don't know if maybe, like, I was hoping maybe a more narrative focus would work here, and anyway, we'll get into my thoughts there. It's this cannibal movie. Kids go off. It's like college kids. They end up going to Peru to protest the rainforest deforestation and displacement of indigenous tribes. And bad shit happens on their way out of there. They crash land. The tribe that they were going to save ends up capturing them and eating them for dinner.
That's basically it.
Yeah, that's really it.
It takes some time getting there, though, and they do try to build up the whole, like,
a long time.
The whole activist plot of the film.
Yeah.
The movie has a message. I'm not sure what it is, but
Yeah, it has a message. It's I've heard other people say that it's like about kind of about people getting involved in shit they don't know about.
Yeah, it has like two. Like, it has like a couple messages. I don't know if you want to get into that yet, but I don't know. I guess
we certainly can. All
right, one of the messages is, you know, don't just hashtag and tweet shit if you want to make a difference in the world, go out and do something. But then it slaps that message in the face, and it has this very cynical view of the world just being corrupt and there's nothing you could really do to change things. I kind of, like, that's kind of what I got out of the rest of it. It's like, don't even bother. Which is, I think it's like a troubling message, but I think it kind of fits, like, what a horror movie, you know, I think a horror movie should be cynical and the world is a bad place. I mean, it fits within the genre, I guess.
Sure.
I don't know what your thoughts were on that whole thing.
I didn't mind like the message it was trying to. It just comes off as really muddled, like, and confused, for the most part. As like you said, it's trying to do two things at the same time, and
yeah.
And it's not just that. Like, it's, yeah. So these guys go down there, and we're gonna get into some spoilers with both of these movies we're talking about, but like they basically the main character, this girl Justine, she is basically like used. She's tricked into joining up with this group, and then brought down there because of her connections, that her father is a lawyer for the UN. And they're able to leverage that to get what they want, but in the process, it's all been a scam. Like, they're not actually going down there to do anything, and they're just setting it up for another company to come in and, you know, re-rip down the rainforest.
Yeah.
So money has changed hands, and it's really kind of a depressing message. And then they crash, and everyone starts getting eaten.
Yeah, it's like, you know, they spent a lot of time building up that plot, and I guess some of the twists happen throughout while they're captive, but like, once they crash land in the middle of wherever the fuck, it's just pretty much chaos and violence from there to the end.
Yeah, and it's really slow up until that point. Like, they try and do a lot of like character development, but I don't think that the characters are very deep. Like, they're all just kind of stereotypes, like one note characters that aren't really, they lack kind of like depth to them. So
I kind of like the main character, and
Justine's okay. Yeah,
and the guy who kind of pulls her into the whole activist group, he's like this nice guy.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That was it for the people that I enjoyed in that movie,
and the rest is just fucking, they're fodder, man. Like, most people that you're seeing getting killed, you really don't have any sort of connection to, or you don't know who their name is or anything, really.
Yeah, like, I mean, you, Alejandro, who is the leader of the like the activist group, he's kind of a, like, by the end you kind of want him to get what's coming to him, which is kind of a shame that never actually happens, but
I just thought it was a shame that they had to make him such a prick.
Oh, like, yeah, they made him like he became completely unlikable. Like, you actually hate him by the end.
They could have still had the twist with him, even, and have him be selfish and stuff. But like, they want you so bad to hate him. So it's a bit. I was just like, dude, this is a bad enough situation as it is. I don't know if we need another enemy within the cage with them.
Yeah, like, he was actively working against them, like trying to escape, and
yeah,
it. To a point, it actually made no sense. Like, I mean, I guess the last act that he commits, he stalls one of the other people from leaving, and I guess that makes sense because, like, well, I don't want to get eaten.
So he doesn't want to be the only one, yeah.
Yeah, like, you get eaten. But, like, ultimately, you're still locked in this cage, and they're going to eat you, but I had problems with some of the, like, some of that second half, though, too, where Roth just, he tries to mix in, like, humor, and it,
oh, yeah.
And I will say, I laughed at, like, there's two points in particular. One I found just stupid, and the other I kind of chuckled at because it had a pretty funny line, but even then, it's kind of dumb in the dire situation. But the first one is, like, this chick, like, I don't know if she ate something or, like, she gets sick and, like, she just basically has, like, explosive diarrhea to the, and, like, complete with, like, fart noises and,
you know what?
And the kids are, like, waving their hands because it smelled bad, and it was, like, this is dumb.
And you know what, though? Like, I remember when I watched that scene, I totally forgot about that scene, but now I'm thinking about it. I remember when I watched the scene going, this could be something that's really horrific, and they're playing it for laughs. Like, yeah. If you think of the movie Frozen, there's a scene in that where she loses control of her bladder and she pisses herself.
Yes.
And it's really kind of sad and scary.
Yeah, this like it should and this should have been like sad and terrifying because they're in this awful situation, but instead it's like it's basically played up like a comedy. Like
the problem is he went overboard with the sound effect on it. Like, yeah. Like no, I don't care how bad your diarrhea is, dude. It's not that. Like that's ridiculous, dude. It goes on for like 15 seconds of just fucking shit hitting the ground,
and then he's cutting to like these little cannibal kids who like are like holding their nose and they're laughing and they're waving their hands because the smell's bad. It's like it wasn't necessary, and it really kind of like it takes away from the horror of the situation. It's like am I supposed to be like terrified by this, or is this all sort of a joke? And then there's the pot scene.
Oh God.
Where the same girl, I think it's the same girl, who, like, had the explosive diarrhea, she ends up killing herself because her girlfriend, who had tried to escape, she was caught and killed, stunned off screen, but there's enough evidence supporting her death, and she's like, I'm done, I'm out. She breaks the bowl that they had given her, and she kills herself, and this pothead who like early on he has like tried to secure some pot as they enter the country and he gets it. They take the pot that he has left. It's not a big bag, but I mean it wasn't like minuscule, and they stuff it down the corpse of this girl, down her into her mouth, down her throat, knowing that they're going to like bake her next. And this results in these dumbest thing going.
Oh, dude, I hate this scene.
The entire tribe ends up stoned.
Yeah, like you would have. All right, dude, it's just ridiculous to begin with. But all right, you would have to burn like a huge bale of hay worth of fucking pot to do that. There's no way off of cooking a corpse that, like, a tiny bag of weed inside of it is going to get this entire tribe high, right. One. And two, like, their reaction to it is, like, it's just stupidly comical.
I will say, I did laugh, though, like, as, so, they're trying to escape, and two of them make it away. And the one guy, he gets held back by the leader, and basically, he passes out, and when he wakes up, there's these two tribesmen over him, like, giggling, and, he's, like, having a hard time figuring out what's going on, and it just, it dawns on him that they have the munchies.
It's so stupid.
And he's just, like, his last words are, oh God, they have the munchies, as they start eating him, and, like, I laughed at that point. It's so dumb, but I did laugh. Just,
dude, I hate that scene so much. I know you're okay with it because it made you laugh or whatever, but it's just, to me, it's like, this movie could have been very horrifying, and right in the middle of the most horrifying portion of it, he just kills it with a joke. Yeah. Like, it's okay to have some humor here and there, like, to lighten things, you know, and then throw you back into the horror, but that is just, it's such a fucking dumb scene. And you could tell he really just wanted that joke. Like,
yeah, he was really proud of that joke. And it's like 5 minutes out of the movie. And it's not a long movie to begin with, so it's a good portion of it that this is all kind of focused on.
It's right in the heart of the film. It's like right in the middle of the most exciting segment.
Yeah, they're at this point, they are down to like four survivors. They start off with like seven or eight, I think, and like they're down to like the end, and then this happens. he has a tendency to do this though in his films. Like Cabin Fever has, it's not
the
a straight
waffles.
Horror film. Yeah, there's like a lot of humor in that sometimes works, sometimes doesn't. Hostel, not so much the first one, but the second one definitely has like a lot of like weird goofy humor in it, which is one of the reasons I did not enjoy Hostel 2 as much.
See, I like Hostel too. I haven't seen it since it came out, but
I mean, they're not films I want to go back.
Really, I like him as a director. I think he serves a purpose within the genre to like push the boundaries. But that's kind of what I wanted to ask you is like what you thought of the violence in this. Because I gotta be honest, I was not that shocked and not.
No,
that
and I don't know if it's, you know, in the 8 years since Hostel 2 came out, but like I'm totally with you. Like he is, there's something about Eli Roth. Like I like the guy. Like he is kind of this ambassador for, you know, horror and pushing the genre. And I mean, he has created some of the most disturbing scenes I've ever seen in film, like the shaving scene in Cabin Fever.
Absolutely.
And like the eyeball scene in Hostel. Like they're fucking gross, and they still kind of freak me out and make me cringe. And nothing in this film did that. Nothing.
There's a scene in Hostel 2 where a girl gets murdered with a scythe or scythe. What is it? How do I say it?
And is that the one where they bathe in her blood?
Yeah, like she fills a bath full of her blood, and like that. I remember watching that scene with like a whole group of friends, and we were all like affected by that scene. We were all just like covering our eyes, screaming. Like it made me so uncomfortable. And the sound of her like back being scraped by this thing, it was just.
But that's the thing, right? Like so, like. So Cabin Fever was almost, you know, it was 13, 14 years ago. Hostel 10 years ago. Hostel 2, 8 years ago. And we're still picking out scenes. Like, even though we haven't seen these movies recently, we're able to, like, pick out. I don't think, like, in a year I'll be able to pick out any particular scene except for maybe the dumb diarrhea scene or the pot scene, like, from this film. Like, what do you remember about that? I don't know.
I do think that the very first kill once they get to the tribe is pretty graphic and shocking, and it reminds you, if you've ever seen of any of like the beheadings
it's effective too, because it happens to like the one other character that you may have some sympathy for.
Like I felt really bad for the dude, and he's like on the verge of passing out when they start to torture him, and it's just
like they're gonna help me, like
and that whole sequence, he doesn't blink and he doesn't do any jokes. It's like very horrifying when they first arrive there and like everyone's surrounding them and they fucking murder someone real quick and it's very violent, and like I'm like, oh shit, I'm in for a roller coaster ride. And then that's it, that's the peak of it. There's nothing more shocking or scary after that.
No,
it's kind of a disappointment.
For not just from Eli Roth, but from a genre that is kind of like, I mean, I remember, like, the reason I watched Cannibal Holocaust wasn't because like I have this innate desire to see like gore and people eat each other, but it's like these films, like, they are historically, like, they were banned in like 37 countries. Like, it's like, what made them so amazing that like people had like what was so nuts about them, and none of that was like evident here at all.
Well, part of it with Cannibal Holocaust, and I still stand by that movie kind of sucks, or really sucks, but with that movie it was because they were like straight up murdering, like torturing
actual animals.
Like,
yeah,
which is it turned me off more when I saw it. Like, I was just like, this movie fucking sucks, and you murdered, like, horribly murdered animals for no reason. Like, I don't know.
Just for your sick realism, I guess. So that's The Green Inferno.
alright. Well, what would you... I know you have a review out on the site, and it got 2 stars. Is that what you would rate it as?
If you had asked me that when I left the theater on Friday, I probably would have said like 3 out of 5, but as I like thought about it more, I wrote my review on Monday, and like after I was done, I was like, yeah. And, like, when the score came back of 2 out of 5, I was like, yeah, that's about right. Like, that's what I think.
Yeah. See, like, I'm with you on basically everything that all your criticisms of it, and so if I had written a review, it probably would have gotten the same thing, but. Honestly, it's still, to me, like, I like his there's something I like about his movies, and it's entertaining enough. I would probably go with 3.
It's out of the cannibal movies I've seen, and it's not a lot of them, it's the best one. the most watchable. I don't know if it's the best one. I don't think Cannibal Holocaust is a good movie, but this is definitely watchable.
Yeah, it goes by. Like, even though it has a slow build-up, I was never super bored in the build-up.
I wasn't bored either. It was weird.
Quick after that.
There was some weird stuff in there. Like,
and he really does try to drive home the message at the end. There's like a shot of protesters, and you're like, whatever, dude.
Did you? Yeah. Did you stick around? I actually like that though. It was like a callback to the beginning, because like at the beginning of the film, like, she's woken up, and her and her roommate are woken up by like the activist outside, and
yeah, it puts a punctuation on the end, saying like, and there's a point to all this, but it's like, I don't know.
There's like the other weird scene too, though, at the end where she's kind of like in this dream state. Do you remember that scene, like, where, like,
was it a final scare type scene? I don't know.
It was like, so she, like, basically she, like, is debriefed by the UN, and then she goes back to school, and, like, the scene is playing out with her walking, like, through the campus, and Alejandro, like, runs up behind her, and it's like, Justine, made it back, and then, like, all of a sudden, like, she grows these weird, like, fangs and like bites them. It was like weird though, and I was like, I don't know if that fits, like, because
There's
the rest of it hasn't been this weird like kind of fever dream, so
I don't mind it.
I didn't mind, like, it was just weird.
It's like a lot of horror movies do that at the end.
Yeah. Did you stick around after like the beginning of the credits?
I heard something happen as I was walking out of the theater.
So,
and I just kept walking.
I started to leave, and then I heard, like, I was like just about to the door, and I heard it, so I turned around and walked back, and Alejandro's sister calls Justine, and I don't. It's stupid. I don't know how she would have ever gotten this imagery, but she has satellite images of someone that looks like him. And like that's how it ends. It's like, I've gotten these images, and I know that you said Alejandro was killed by the tribe or whatever, but you know, there's this image that really looks like him, and we need to talk. And then it just cuts out. It's like, so was he setting it up for like some weird sequel?
Sure,
like,
sure it was.
I hope there's no sequel to this. Like, I don't want to see the Green Inferno 2.
No, one was enough. Like, I don't hate it. I really don't.
No,
I had problems with some of the plot, and I really didn't like the, like, where it went into humor when it should have been going scarier. But one last thing too. There is a weird thing at the end where, in that scene where she's like explaining what happened, where you get the impression, I mean, I guess it's more than an impression, that like she kind of had sympathy for this tribe that they were trying to protect in the first place, and mm-hmm. she kind of wants to cover up what really happened, and I'm just like, really? Would you really feel sympathy for these motherfuckers that were going
to
eat you?
It's like, I mean, not just eat you, like, they were going to, like, perform, like,
and I guess genital mutilation.
They were going to basically, like, slice you up, and They go. I'm actually really surprised that he didn't go that far.
I
think,
right?
That would have been like what it's like. Oh my god! Like, because there's a point where you're like, oh my god, they're gonna. He's no way. They're not. And then he kind of like. I'm glad he didn't. But
like, I'm kind of surprised I didn't get a close up shot of a clit falling off. Like,
or something like that. Like, it was nuts. But yeah. Yeah, it was like, I don't know if, like, her temperament would have changed to that point. Like, she was terrified, and aside from that little girl who helped her get out of there.
I really like that whole aspect of it. Yeah. Like, how she used that little flute that she had mm-hmm. to communicate. There's no other way to communicate, so it's just to show, hey, I'm a human too, like, don't do this to me, whatever.
Yeah. I thought that was neat, like, but I don't think that, like, she'd be like, yeah, you know what, the adults in that tribe, they're all right. We'll let them live.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I mean, I get the whole point that they're trying to say is that the real evil one was the guy in the cage with them, and these people were just minding their own business, and we invaded their territory. But it's like, I don't know, dude. You were out there to help them. Maybe you were meddling where you shouldn't have been. But you almost, like, you, all your friends got fucking killed, and this and that. You almost got mutilated and eaten, and you're going to, like, make up a story to protect them. Like, right. I find that's a bit too far, but whatever.
Yeah, it is what it is.
There is more meat to this and more disgust than a lot of your standard horror movies, so I still kind of give Eli Roth a pass. And like I said, I was entertained enough, but I just had problems with certain things.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So yes. The visit.
The visit. I gotta grab a beer, but the visit. So I don't know. Can you edit like a? Or we could just leave it. I don't care what you do, but I need to grab a beer.
Okay.
And then we'll talk the visit. So give me like 10 seconds.
Sure.
All right. Okay. The Visit. Alright, so The Visit is a new film from M. Night Shyamalan, written and directed by him. And it's about a brother and sister who go to visit their grandparents who they've never met and spend a week with them. And they quickly realize that something's wrong with their grandparents, but there's not much they could do about it because their mom's on vacation while they are staying there. It's a found footage film, or like
kind of.
It's a first person point of view film. Everything is made by the girl, the sister. She's shooting a documentary kind of about her grandparents because she's never met them, and she really kind of wants to get to the mystery of why her mom doesn't talk to her grandparents anymore. And
yes.
I don't know. So she wants to make a little documentary about their little visit with the grandparents. I feel like this is the best movie he has done since Signs. Honestly, dude. Like, and he's kind of like, most of his movies are super serious and super well shot. Like, he's never done a found footage before, and this is just kind of like Shyamalan having fun, like going back to basics, going back to like real basic things that people are afraid of, and I think it's. Like, I think it deserves a spot among his early movies, like The Sixth Sense or Unbreakable or Signs. I'd say it's better than Signs.
Yeah, I do too. I'm not particularly a big fan of Signs, but yeah, I like in terms of what he's done since Unbreakable, it is. I'd be like, yeah, this is a good movie. Yes, I think it's a good movie. Period. But
yeah, it's a good movie, period, but it makes me happy to see that this guy still has some tricks up his sleeve. Even though he's kind of going... He has a certain style to his movies that some people might think it's worn out or whatever, but I like it. I like that there's usually, like, a big twist and that, like there's all these clues throughout the film and certain character traits about the people are going to come into play heavily near the end. I don't know, but it's... And I also, the thing I like about a lot of his movies is he kind of has that, like, Spielberg touch to it where there's a heart at the center of the movie that's about something that isn't the horror part of it.
True.
I don't know if you didn't like that or not. I really liked, like, the angle of why their mom doesn't talk to her parents anymore and then the reveal of why that is.
Well, I think it gave it. It gives it more depth than like a normal, like one of these normal found footage films would have. Like, there's a reason for like why everything happened, and the horror, like that happens in between there is, you know, kind of just added. Like, there's a good story though, outside of that.
And he always makes like, you know, it's the same thing with The Sixth Sense. It has a really strong story. It just happens to be in the horror genre. Like. Mm-hmm. It's a story with heart. It's about real people and real, you know, families and stuff. And like that, even in Unbreakable, there was like issues between the kid and his father in it. Like, I like that he has those in those. Like, people might think it's like him being lazy and keeping doing the same thing over and over, but I'd rather see that than just a empty horror film where people are there just to get killed. Like, yeah, sometimes I'm in the mood for just a slasher movie, but you know, this is something a little classier, and it's not super. There's like, it's a PG-13. There's no hardcore like Green Inferno horror going on in this, but the things that are about like are things that are terrifying, that like I think everyone is afraid of. Everyone's afraid of growing old. I think people are generally kind of like, I don't like going to nursing homes and shit. Like, I don't like seeing the way your body starts to fall apart on you and shit. And like, that's what the scares in this movie are kind of all about, that, you know,
right? Like, up until the like twist. That is like really what it kind of is like, you know, the weird noises, the weird things going on in the house are all related to them being like, to their grandparents being old people.
And there is like an aspect of the grossness of old bodies and yeah. stuff like that. I mean, he definitely like, there's like shots of them semi-nude and stuff where you're just like, ugh.
Yes. Yeah. And it's handled really well too, because so like the one time they open the door and like the grandmother is kind of like there, like, you know, half naked, and they're playing hide and seek under the house, and she comes crawling out and her dress is ripped and like her ass is hanging out, and like the boy is just like, oh, I've been blinded.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I just got done complaining about all the humor and the Green Inferno. This is a funny fucking movie, and it works, dude. It works as a horror comedy really well, I think.
Right, because it's not like the situation, the premise isn't this dire, like, we're going to be eaten by people.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
It's more of like, all right, this is some weird shit. Like, you're going to visit these old people, you're going to visit your grandparents, and they're weird. And we're, you know, the story's being told from like through the lens of like a 12 and a 15 year old, and like how they're seeing it. So how they would react to it. It's like, dude, these old people are freaking weird.
I know. So it's able to be creepy and funny at the same time.
Oh, and it's creepy. It does creepy pretty damn good.
Yeah. Especially, there are sequences near the end where, like, she's under the sheet and stuff. I'm like, this is really good. Like, you know, this is really solid stuff, you know. You remember what I'm talking about? When she stands up kind of like a ghost or whatever.
Yeah, with like, the sheet over her head. Or, like, she, like, crawls under the bed and, like, the hand is just coming out. It's, like, really well done. I mean, there are aspects of that you have to suspend and it's just the nature of, like, you know, self-shot, found footage type stuff, where it's like, why would she continue to hold the camera? Like,
yeah.
I would put the camera down, but, like, it's something that just, you have to, while you're watching it, it's not bothering me. It's like, after the fact, it's like, why would she continue to hold the camera, though?
It's a problem with the genre, like, the whole found footage genre that, you know, most movies try to, like, find a way to explain why they're doing it, and it's usually, like, the Blair Witch Project, they're like, oh, this is removing you from the reality of what's going on, right. So you're just living through this camera, or, you know, and whatever. Like, you just accept it or you don't, like.
There's a lot of, like, really good things in it, though, and,
Dude, the part when she's in the chair laughing at the fucking wall, and they're like,
you know, it's like,
sometimes you have to laugh, keep the deep dark keys away, and you're like, dude, this is fucking, I don't want to be old, this is scary.
But before that even happens, though, she's like, I'm gonna go like talk with Nana, and she's watching TV just like every other old person does, and she gets out there and like, she's not watching anything, she's just laughing at a wall and talking about the deep darkies, and then it's like, she's talking about crazy aliens sucking up. Like, it was very well done in that regard.
And these are a great thing about this movie. And we want to get into spoilers here. I don't want to spoil it before we say, so like, whatever, because I want people to see this. But like, all of things like that are like grounded in things that are that happen to old people. Like, you start to get dementia and this and that, or you could get schizophrenia or whatever. Right. And the great thing about the movie, I mean, this is kind of spoilery, but it's not supernatural. Like, it's something that could technically happen. You know what I mean?
I did think for a moment there that he was going to, like, do some weird sign shit.
Yeah, right? Like you don't know.
Like,
yeah.
Because, like, she starts talking at some point about, like, these aliens and the darkies, and it's like, he's not going to go there. Please tell me he's not going to go there.
Well, and there's this huge mystery surrounding what happened with the kid's parent, mom and these right. grandparents, that they're estranged, and you're like, man, something really fucked up must have happened back then. And then when you find out what it is, that's where I kind of, like, it kind of was like an emotional sucker punch to me. I'm like, it's just a normal thing that happened and they haven't talked.
Right.
That's almost too spoilery. But anyways, we're going to get into spoilers in a second, I guess, like, dig into this more. But before we do that, so people who haven't seen it, what would you give this one?
I think, like, I liked it. I didn't love it, but I liked it quite a bit. I would go 3 out of 5.
I'm going 4. I really think it's one of the best ones he's done. It's just a light, fun, like, funny and scary movie. Kind of a hard trick to pull off. And I really did like the heart at the center of it. Now we're going to fucking just fucking spoil the fuck out of it here at the very end. So, where do you want to start, Chris, with the spoiler, big spoilers? The big twists?
Well...
Or the diaper.
Yeah, well... Wow, that was fucking disgusting.
I don't know about you, but in my theater, and for me, personally, it got a huge laugh, dude.
I was watching it, and there were... It was, like, me, another guy, and then, like, these 5 or 6, like high school kids, and they were laughing through the entire fucking film, and it was like, I was just kind of getting annoyed with them. So, but I didn't laugh at the time, but I was like, because, like, it gets pretty intense there. Yeah, it's terrible.
Dude, I fucking died laughing. Like, it was such a payoff, dude, because it had been built up. We might as well say. Through the whole movie, the kid is the boy. He's explained as he's a germaphobe, and it's because his dad left and he has issues with it. And then there's a part right at the end where, like, the fucking grandparents go batshit crazy. Grandpa takes his diaper off.
I guess,
see what he's doing, really.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I don't, like, at first I'm like, what the hell? Like, I was actually thinking it was going to go darker. Then, like, where it went, because, like, he's taking off his pants, and I'm like, is he gonna?
Oh yeah, something, like, really horrible's gonna happen. Yeah,
is he gonna, like, rape him and kill him, or, like,
there's some germs right up his butt.
Yeah, but no, that's not where it goes. Instead, he, like, sticks this dirty, like, adult diaper right in this kid's face, and the kid basically goes catatonic, like.
Like, fucking, dude, I fucking died laughing when that happened. I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty sure he meant it to be funny, kind of. Because, dude, he got slapped in the face with a diaper. Like, it's...
Yeah.
The old man goes, you have a problem with germs, don't you? And he slaps him with the fucking dirty diaper and keeps walking.
But, I guess we should point out that, like, at this point, we know that these people aren't the grandparents.
Yes,
because, like, that, and it's actually masterful the way that it builds up, and, like, all the clues are there, but,
like, all his movies, if you go back and rewatch this, you're gonna see all sorts of little fucking hints. Like, they talk about the place where they came from. Oh, maybe if I'll get you my badge, I'll show you it one day, or like right. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's all there. Like, it's not...
So, like, they've been Skyping with their mom, and. The grandmother, like, when they're originally Skyping with her, the grandmother doesn't want to talk to her daughter, which you're like, all right, that's, you know,
yeah,
they have issues, like, they have problems, they're still not talking really with each other. But then, like, the camera goes, like, oh, like, something happened, and I got, like, pie crust or something on your, and so I like tried to wipe it off with like oven cleaner, and she like screws up the camera on it. And it's like all these things kind of point to that they didn't want the mom to see them,
yeah,
at any point. And at the very end, they're like that. Like she finally can see, like the camera's finally been cleaned off over like the course of the week, and she's like, "Who are those people? Like, does your grandparents have like guests over or something?" Oh, that's Nana and Papa. The fuck they are, like,
yeah.
And it's like all of a sudden, like everything just ramps up because the kids know that these aren't their grandparents; these are some crazy people. And
yeah, so the twist is the grandparents worked at, like, this mental hospital or something, and they were telling them about how they're going to see their kids are coming up. And that's the thing, because very early in the movie, I said, what if that's not their grandparents? But then I was like, well, why would they be waiting by the train station with a sign and all this? Like, how would they know? Well, it's because the grandparents were telling these old kooks about it, and then these guys kill the grandparents and pose as the grandparents. I was like, it's a pretty good twist. Like, it works.
Yeah,
like,
and it's not ever it, like all the you know, the material you need to be like to figure it out is there, but it's all kind of like just like red herrings here and there, where like the guy from the hospital shows up and he's like, oh, where's your grandparents? Oh no, they just stepped out. And like, and the other lady shows up and she's like, oh, they were my counselor, like they just stepped out. And it's like all that information's there, it's just not evident until, you know, it happens.
Like, I'm pretty proud that I thought of it within like the first 15 minutes, but then I was like, I wrote it off. I was like, oh no, that's not what it is, it's something else. It's something that happened back in the day. And
I will say that's probably my biggest issue with the movie, though, is like as a parent, even like if I hadn't talked with my parents in like, you know, as long as she had, if they were like, hey, we want to see the kids, like, all right, well, come pick them the fuck up, or I will bring them to you. Like, I wouldn't ever stick my kids on, like, a train and be like, go meet these people you've never met before in, like, a strange place.
Yeah, well, she's not exactly the mother of the year.
Yeah, she's not fully there. I get that. It's just, like, to me, it's like, I wouldn't want to ever put my kids in, like, that situation. So that kind of took me out a little bit.
They're kind of getting to the age where they could do stuff like that. Like, the girl's like, what, 15 or something in it, right? Like,
sure, but
not
like
the birds of that age.
I still don't know if I'd send my daughter off
to be in the care of someone else
that they've never met, and like, you don't know if they got there or not. Like,
yeah, she's like, I'm going on a cruise, see ya, yes.
Right.
Well, and then that's the other thing I want to talk about is at the end it's finally revealed why she hasn't talked to her, like the bad thing that happened the night she left. And it's just, I think she hit her father and that was it.
She hit her mom and her father hit her.
Okay, so it was just it's something that happens, right? And they haven't talked since then. And I really like I don't know how you felt about it. I really like the final scene when she tells her daughter, she's like, you know, they were always there for me, like, you know, I didn't have to apologize. Like, they would have accepted me back. I shouldn't have held on to like the anger that I had.
Like
she's telling that the reason
they stayed away. Yeah,
yeah, and she's telling that to her daughter because she doesn't want her kids to hate their father.
Yes.
Like that's what I got out of it. And I thought that was a really good.
Well,
message.
Yeah, and it was. I mean, and you get that at the very end because, like, she doesn't want to use any footage, like the girl who is the director of this, you know, documentary or whatever, she says very early on that like she doesn't want to use any footage of her father because of like the way that he had hurt her and her brother when he left to go like live with his new wife or whatever. And at the very end, like, they're using the old footage of like, I guess it was his birthday or something, and everyone was happy, and that's how it kind of closes out.
Like, I know some people probably won't like all that shit, but like, to me, that's what gives the movie its heart, and that's what pushes it over to like a higher rating for me. I like that his movies have stories about people in them outside of the horror, you know?
Yeah. It makes it more meaningful. Like,
yeah.
I do think that, like, because of the way he structures his films, and they're so reliant on the twist.
Yeah.
That it does diminish like future viewings. Like I find it really hard to go back and watch The Sixth Sense, even though it's like a really well made movie, well acted, well directed.
I think with movies like that and just movies in general, I really enjoy watching, especially something like that, with someone who hasn't seen it before.
Sure.
Even though there's at this point, like, good luck doing that with The Sixth Sense, but
who hasn't seen it at this point?
But like, anytime I show something to my girlfriend that she has not seen before, it's like I get to feel kind of seeing it through her eyes and watch how she reacts to.
Yeah, that's fun. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, but anyways, I think we're both obviously pretty positive about this one. I'm happy to see. I hope it's a signal of a comeback for him. Like, I hope it did well. I don't know, but
it's doing decently, and I mean, I'm sure it did not cost a ton of money.
Yeah.
To make, like, it's a low budget horror film. They're saying so IMDb is saying that the budget for the movie was about $5 million. It's made about $53 million at this point. So like,
so
he's done a good job. Like
big success, actually.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, profit versus whatever. Yeah, I mean, if it went on to do like $300 million or something crazy, then I guarantee you he'd be fucking. I think his career is. I hope it's coming back, because there was a while there, man. That Lady in the Water, dear God, I hated that movie. Yeah. I never saw the last Airbender. Was that the one he did?
Yep, he did that. He did The Happening, which was like the trees attacked. And
I did see that one. I didn't.
It was okay.
Hate
it. I liked it more than Lady in the Water and The Village.
Wahlberg was so miscast in that, though. But
there was a lot of miscasting in that. I've never. The only one I haven't seen of his is After Earth.
But after that was him too.
Yeah.
But like that one and Last Airbender to me sound like just jobs for him. You know, he's just like, fuck, I'll do whatever at this point. Like, they're not, to me, a Shyamalan movie is, it's got to be written and directed by him. Like, and it's got to be his own original story.
Sure. I mean, he did. I guess he co-wrote After Earth. Last Airbender was definitely like a. What is it? Drawing a blank on the term, even though he did write it, it's not his
property. It's like it's an adaptation.
Yes, he adapted it. Whatever. I mean, I know the guy is a great storyteller. It's just he hasn't hit upon anything recently. Like I think you've seen it too, Devil, which takes place almost entirely in like an elevator. Like he wrote that. Like it was based on a story. He didn't direct it, but like the guy knows how to, you know, structure a story and tell it. So I hope that, you know, this is definitely a start to that.
Yeah, I'd like to see him keep. I like his movies. Like when they're good, I really like them. Even when like The Happening, like that was like kind of a bad one. I still. It's like the same thing I said about Eli Roth. Like this guy has a place in the genre.
Yeah, I just wonder if maybe like. You know, with the success of The Sixth Sense and then Unbreakable did really well, and even The Village, like Signs and The Village did very well for what they were. I wonder if maybe that success, like, people started giving him more and more money, and, like, he didn't really know what to do with it at that point. It just blew up too high for him.
And he wasn't delivering, and...
Right.
I really do feel like this one was him just letting go of expectations and just like, let's do a fun, kind of funny horror movie. You know, and he did it. He fucking nailed it. So, good for him. I hope he sticks around for a long while. Really like him.
Yeah, I want more stuff from him.
Yeah.
We're not done with movie dudes. We're going to continue doing it definitely through October, and we're going to try and, you know, bring us back as a weekly show again.
Yeah.
So what are we doing next week, Jeff?
Next week, each week this month, we're going to just do like a 5-movie list for you. Each of us will have 5 movies based around a certain theme. Next week, we're going to do what I'm calling fringe horror, which are movies that are technically not horror movies, but you consider them to be. So there might be a little bit of debate in that one. And if anyone is listening, I'm sure there's people that are going to disagree completely. I've gotten into arguments so many people, like so many times over the years about certain movies that I consider horror, and they're like, dude, that's not a horror movie, though. I'm like, yes, it is. An example of this, though, that I keep thinking of is Requiem for a Dream. Have you ever seen that movie?
I have.
It's a movie that it's a very disturbing drama about drug addiction. And if you said to somebody that's a horror movie, they'd be like, get the fuck out of here. Well, if you ask the director himself, I think it was his name, Darren Aronofsky.
Yes.
That's what he calls it. It's a horror movie about drug addiction. So
it's pretty horrific.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of where I got the idea for this topic. It's like, nobody would consider that a horror movie, but except the director of the fucking movie calls it a horror movie. You know what I mean? So we're going to do like a little one where it's like, they're on the fringe. Like, they will most likely not be considered horror, but we do. Or I do, and you do for your list.
I'm going to have to really think this one through.
But I came up with like 6 or 7, so I don't want to give you any help, though, because I don't want us to have the same
list.
No,
it's fine. All right. We will be back next week with that, then. And all through October, we're going to be focusing on horror stuff. And then we'll probably come up with like a new format for how we're going to handle this. But we just wanted to get these two out there, and then we're going to do our special horror stuff, and then we'll see.
And if there's any movies that pop up in October, like, I kind of want to see that Del Toro one. If we see anything in October, we'll fucking share it with
you. Yeah, you know. There's some horror films coming out. I am going to see The Martian this weekend. Well, by the time this goes up, last weekend. But I don't know if we'll talk about that on the show, although maybe that may make might make the fringe horror list. We'll see.
Yeah, you never know. Survival horror, baby.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it is about a dude kind of being stranded.
Isolation, that's a great horror topic.
Yeah. So,
survival.
We'll see. maybe I'll find a way to talk about that next week.
And we can still talk about it regardless. I mean, it's current, so.
Sure. But yeah, we'll be back next week, and Jeff and I have to go record our game podcast now.
Lots of podcasts. Oh boy. Yep.
Thursday nights.
Movie dudes.
Do 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 do.